So, as a mom, I'm continually learning new things about myself, about my kids, about the world in general. Right? And my learning curve right off the bat into motherhood, I have to admit, was pretty steep. You see, I've never considered myself a baby person. For one, I just don't understand what they're thinking. And not to mention, they can't tell you what they're thinking, which is a huge challenge in and of itself. For example, my daughter Callie is now 8, and at 1.5, I was sitting in my parents' living room. We're just watching her toddle around. All of a sudden, she stops, picks a blanket up off the floor, and puts it over her head. Now I'm sitting there thinking, you're not going to walk with that blanket over your head, are you? And then I watch, like in slow motion, as she just takes off, heading blanket over her head straight towards the glass table. Now, I am paralyzed, and all I can think is, sweet girl, you need to know where you're walking. Sure, you might make it untouched for a while. It could even be a bit of a rush. I can admit that. But eventually, you're gonna crash. There are always consequences. Please don't do that. There's a better way. Ultimately, it was a learning experience for both of us. You see, as a parent, I want my kids to know where they're walking and why. I don't want them to walk blindly because I know there is a better way. You see, I need to help teach them that because, church, there is a better way. In fact, there is only one better and right way. And that is the way that Jesus tells us to walk on the narrow path. For he said, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. This morning, as the Holy Spirit works, it is my hope and prayer that we together can understand and follow the path that God has laid out before us. Because, church, the path we walk matters. As we continue, please pray with me. Dear God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for these people, God, in this place, knowing that you are here, powerful and present. And so, Lord, we just give you our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, Lord. May you keep anything that is not of you far from this place, God. And may this be your words that are spoken. May I get out of the way, and may it always be full of you. We love you, Lord. Amen. So Matthew 5 through 7 is one of Jesus' sermons, commonly titled the Sermon on the Mount. It is the longest and most complete sermon of Jesus recorded in the Gospels, and it presents a challenging message to its audience. Though found in both Matthew and Luke, this morning we are going to spend our time in Matthew 5 through 7. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up to it to follow along as we go through this today and in the days to come. The intended audience for Jesus' Sermon on the Mount were his disciples, committed followers of Christ. We know that because Matthew 5:1 begins like this. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus takes his disciples up a mountainside to tell them that they have a higher calling while here on earth. For God's goodness is different than the world's goodness. And the path we as followers of Christ are called to walk is purposeful. If you do not yet consider yourself a follower of Christ, may you hear these words and know that God desires for you to know and follow him. If you are sitting here today and you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, these words of Jesus in this sermon are for you to understand and follow. So, church, what is the narrow path and why do we walk it? In Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Unlike so many other religions where you have to earn your way into a heaven or an eternal life, Jesus says that the way into heaven begins with the gate. And the gate is small because there's only one way in. You cannot earn your way through it, do enough good to get in it, or be the best to open it. No, Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." While there are only two paths leading to two very different destinations, Jesus is the only gate and the only way to heaven. And knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we committed followers of Christ are then called to walk the narrow path between here and heaven. Jesus puts before us a higher calling in this sermon. For in chapter 5, Jesus compares the goodness of the world to God's goodness. He says things like this: while the world says, "Do not murder," Jesus takes it a step higher and says, "Do not be angry and forgive always." While the world says it is good, "Do not commit adultery," that is good, Jesus takes it a step further and says, "Do not let lust have a place in your mind, for it is a matter of the heart." While the world says, "Payback, an eye for an eye," that's okay, Jesus takes it a step higher and says, "Turn the other cheek." And while the world leaves room for justifiable hate, Jesus says, "Go the extra mile and love your neighbor." Maybe you hear these words of Jesus today, and as a Christian, you think, those are good things to do. But are they really necessary? I'm already through the gate. My destination is heaven. Maybe you think in part or completely agree with the pushback that I found while researching the Sermon on the Mount. For in much of my research, I found over and over again a push against Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. I read comments like this one: "The stuff the church is preaching is extremely strict and allows for almost no fun without thinking it's a sin." Another person said, "The things asked for in this sermon are absurd. To look at a woman is adultery. That is the most extreme, stupid, unhuman statement that I have ever heard." Or a final quote read, "Many believe that this sermon should be taken literally. I believe, on the other hand, that we should use them as a guide, not law. Certain beatitudes are irrelevant to current lifestyles. Loving your enemy, for instance, is obviously not observed by the majority today." Can you step back for a moment this morning, evaluating yourself and you alone? For in this sermon, Jesus says, pull the plank out of your own eye before you get the speck out of somebody else's. And can you ask yourself this morning the honest question, if Jesus tells me to do these things, why wouldn't I do them? Why don't I do them? As a follower of Christ, we must understand what Jesus asks us when he calls us to walk the narrow road. And we also must understand why we are to follow these instructions. I will tell you one thing. The why is not to earn your way into heaven. That is not an option. For it is only through Jesus, his forgiveness, his salvation, his love, that we get the chance to go to heaven. It is not to earn our way in. So why would God want us to do hard things? Why would he ask more of us? Can't we just walk the wide road every once in a while? Why would God ask us to do more? Can't we just do the good that we think is important and leave the difficult stuff alone? Jesus answers this question for his followers by saying in Matthew 3, 13 through 16, this is paraphrased from the Message, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage." Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think that I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So we walk the narrow path, committed followers of Christ, to preserve, share, and show godliness. Every moment of every day, it is all about pointing to Jesus, the gate. The difference between people on the wide path and people on the narrow path is not whether or not they are doing good. For both paths contain people doing good and desiring to do good. But the difference lies in the why they do it. Pastor Tim Keller alludes to the fact that people on the wide path do good out of places of selfishness. They do good to gain self-worth. They do good for self-recognition, to be superior to those who oppose them. And that goodness is used as leverage over others or even over God. While people on the narrow path know the real problem is self, pride, and all sin. So they do good to preserve, share, and show Jesus. Done because of God and for God. Why do you walk the path you walk? Why do you do the good you do? Is it out of a place of pride or selfishness? Are you motivated by your fear, your own pleasure, your acceptance by others, your indifference to God's truth? Your agenda, your desire to make a mark, you? Or do you walk the path and do good out of obedience to God, his truth, his control, his plan, his love, all for his glory in the here and in eternity? Is it all because of God and for God that you do good and walk the walk you walk? Because, church, the path we walk matters. After coming back to Jesus, that's kind of what we call it in the church. You have a come back to Jesus moment, a prodigal son moment. In freshman year of college, that was my story. I had walked away from God. I had walked onto the wide path. I wanted nothing to do with him, and I had returned. And so I knew the consequences and the temptations of the wide path. But I was walking the narrow path up until senior year, when there was a part of my life, a certain aspect that pulled me off of the narrow path. And the thing was that while from the outside, most everyone couldn't tell, the inside, it was eating at me. And God did not let me walk that wide path for long. No, actually, for 3 weeks in a row, I went to my church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, sat down in this movie theater, that's where it was, and listened to the preacher preach a sermon series on my sin. The current sin that I was living for 3 weeks, I sat there while he spoke God's truth in comparison to what I was walking. And though I tell you the truth, it was a hard punch in the gut. But I am so grateful for that call out. I am so grateful for the freedom that I experienced in leaving that sin behind and coming back to the narrow path. Because, church, the only place that I have ever experienced true freedom and true joy is on the path and the goodness that God has for us. Sometimes we need to be called back. And Jesus' words today are doing that. Followers of Christ, we have been called to walk the narrow path. And an action on our part is needed. Because the path we walk matters. I would love to tell you all the ways to walk the narrow path, help you through every temptation that comes your way, give you instructions on how to keep going, but we do not have enough time for that today. But what I do have for you are words of encouragement and challenge, things for you to add to your daily life as you get back on, continue to walk, fight the good fight. And these are them. Number one, read your Bible. Read about the things that God says, this is the narrow path, this is what I have for you. Read your Bible. And if you have a pen, you write these down. I encourage you to start in Matthew 5 through 7. Read it in its entirety. Let God speak to you through that. I also encourage you to read Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, 2 Corinthians 4, just for starters. And do not stop. Read both the Old Testament and the New Testament. For in this sermon, Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Read both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Two, so read your Bible. Two, as you read, ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. That is so important. Peter read it this morning, but in verse 7:7 it said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes, this is a difficult path, and yes, you cannot do it on your own. You need God's help. So ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth and to empower you as you walk. Three, get somebody who will hold you and keep you accountable. Find somebody else who will keep you honest and is walking that narrow path too. And last, but definitely not least, walk it. Jesus makes it clear in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount that those who consider themselves followers of Christ must be walking the narrow path. For these are the words he concludes with from the Message in verses 24 through 29. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. They had never heard a teaching like this. For when Jesus concluded, the crowd burst into applause. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite in contrast to the religion teachers. This was the best teaching that they had ever heard. Like Jesus, we are called to live everything he is saying. And I believe if we ask God to give us his eyes, we will see other people walking the narrow path around us. For while it says that only a few find it, that means that we are not alone. And my hope is that each of us will be one of those people for somebody else to see God through, to see that narrow path and where to walk in the best that he has for us between here and heaven. Because church, the path we walk matters. Sweet child of God, you need to know where you're walking. Pray with me. Dear God, we just thank you for your truth and your love. God, we thank you that, that you have called us higher to more, God, but it is not something that we do on our own. And so we ask for you to just fill our lives. God, I pray for these people. I pray for the truth that they hear, God, that they may grab it, that you will protect them, you will walk with them, that we will be light out in this world as you have called us to be. And so, God, as we enter into this time of reflection and song, Lord, may these words that we sing be words to glorify you, words of our hearts, God. May they spin in our heads and be evident in our lives. We love you. Amen.